Amen. Can we attend church and still have wrong thinking in areas of our lives? Can we love God and have wrong thinking, and that thinking still limit us in those areas, even though God wants to take us to victory and he wants to take us to change? But he said, until you renew your mind to my truth, you're not going to be set free in an area. Let's read this short passage, which you're very familiar with, real quickly before I cover the last three points, because it's such a picture of someone who knows Jesus, who loves Jesus, who walks with Jesus, and who has some wrong thinking, and how that wrong thinking affects their life. In the book of Luke, beginning with verse 38 of chapter 10, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." That's a picture of a believer, isn't it? We welcome Jesus into our house. We say, "Jesus, we want you to be the Lord of my life. We want you to come in. We want you to be our Savior." It's a picture of someone who is not against Jesus. She's so for Jesus. She is the one in this story who went out and invited Jesus to come in, to come close. And she opened the door of her house to Jesus. Now in verse 39 it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Heard his word. Now I want to tell you, how does Jesus communicate God's thoughts to people? The way Jesus communicated God's thoughts to people was through words. How else are you going to communicate the thoughts of God? You take the thought of God and you clothe it in vocabulary that you and I can understand. And then it becomes a thought capsule where he delivers it to them. Mary sat at Jesus' feet because she wanted to know the thoughts of God. How many of you know that it's not going to happen through osmosis? The way that we're going to get the thoughts of God into our life is Psalms chapter 1, that we have to meditate the word day and night. We have to meditate the thoughts of God. We have to sit at the feet of the Master if we want to know what it is, the truths of God and how God wants us to think. So she sat at his feet and she listened to God's thoughts. Verse 40, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." Now, is serving good? Serving is good. I think serving is good. When you go to a restaurant, do you like to be served? How many know we're called to serve God? There's a lot of good things that we can be doing, but there are some better things that we better be doing. It says, "She was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus, and she said to him, 'Lord, do you not care?'" I want you to think, as we read this, I want you to look at all the different ways that Martha had bad thinking. Okay, now, did she love Jesus? Was Jesus in her house? Had she invited him in? But did she still have some wrong thoughts and belief systems? She said this, she came up to Jesus, okay, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? The Messiah. She came up to the Messiah who had came to earth to die on a cross and to pay the price for us. She came up to him and said, "Don't you care? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." How many of you know when you have wrong thinking, it produces wrong fruit in your life? She had Jesus in the house. She had the Savior of the world in the house, and she had wrong thinking and wrong believing, and it caused her anxiety, it caused her trouble, it caused her panic, it caused her all kinds of issues in her life because she didn't see it and she didn't think it right. He said, "You're worried and you're troubled about so many things, but one thing is needful, and that is that you would know the truth, and the truth would make you free." What he said was, Mary's got it down. She knows what she needs. And what she needs is the very word of God. If we have God's word on our situation, how many of you know we got truth on our situation? And if we got truth on our situation, we've got the anointing that breaks the yoke, which brings freedom. So this story to me is so amazing because Martha loved Jesus and she invited him in and she was very close to him. And many times it's just like we are in the church. We're in the church and we love the church, but we have areas of our life that we're blind to. How many of you know if our thinking is going to change, one of the primary things that needs to change is we've got to be able to see where we think wrong. We've got to see where we are off. We're out of alignment. And this is not in my notes, but if you're taking notes, just jot this down real quick. See, we got to be very careful. The enemy is a master deceiver. Because he knows if he can keep us out of truth, he can keep us out of freedom. If he can keep us deceived in an area of our life, or he can keep us blind in an area of our life, we still reap the consequences in that area of our life. If he can keep us blind to the truth that if we are a tither, that God will rebuke the devourer for our sake, and that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us that we cannot contain it. If the enemy can keep us from that truth, how many of you know that we still experience the consequences, whether we see it or not? So we need the touch of God in our life so that our eyes would be open. So let me just give you a few ways that we need to embrace avenues of truth in our life. We need to have the Word of God. You need to have the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be memorizing the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and he can open our hearts to things that no one else can? And what does the Holy Spirit need to do that in our life? The Holy Spirit needs our cooperation. The Holy Spirit needs us to invite him in to do that work. How many of you know that if we will take time to sit at the feet of the Father and we will invite the Holy Spirit in to show us? I would dare say that as Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, she was hearing truth that was revealing things in her life that were wrong. It wasn't that Mary was perfect. It's just that she was in the right place to deal with things in her life. We've got to put ourselves in the right place to be able to deal with things in our life. And we say, Holy Spirit, show me where I believe wrong. Show me where I think wrong. I need you to open my eyes. We need the Word and we need the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you need church. Jesus came to establish the church. And people can come up with all kinds of reasons why they don't have to be in church and still love God. And you can still love God and not be in church. You can still go to heaven and not go to church, but God gave us the church. And there's a reason for it, because there's a spiritual covering. God gives you a shepherd, because what a shepherd does, you know what sheep will do? Sheep will eat till the roots are gone, and they'll still try to eat right where they're at. A shepherd is to take them into green pastures. A shepherd takes them into pastures that they didn't even know were there or that they needed to go into. And when you connect yourself to a church, there is spiritual laws at work that help you in your growth with God. You need the church. You need the Word. You need the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. You also need people around you that you trust that can speak into your life. If you're a person that cannot hear something from someone else, then you're a person that's probably walking in a lot of deception. We need to be people who have a humble and a correctable and a teachable spirit. And then we need to have people in our lives that we're willing to listen to and let them tell us what they see in us. How many of you know that's not always easy? Pride will get in the way. Offense will get in the way. Well, who do you think you are? Do you know sometimes God can't get through us to us because we won't be in the Word? He can't get to us because we're busy serving. We're not sitting at the feet of Jesus. He can't get to us other ways. And so sometimes he'll speak to us through a donkey. And because we don't like the messenger, we reject the message. There are things in our lives that we don't see. And we've got to be aware of that. And we got to know, God, I want to be correctable. God, I want to be humble. The Bible says that a wise son loves correction. How many know correction is good for us? Bible says it doesn't feel very good in the moment, but it's profitable in our lives. And so we need God to help us open our eyes. So here's what happened. So Mary said, do you not care about me? Do you not see what my sister is doing? Do you not see that I'm doing all of the work? And Jesus said, look, you're distracted and you're worried and you're anguished about so many things. But one thing is needful, and that is you need to know truth, and you need to sit at my feet, and you need to receive from my spirit. And if you would do those things, it would take care of all these other things in your life. And Mary has chosen it. It's the good part, and I'm not going going to take it away from her. Now, what happens is in our lives when we have wrong thinking, then it affects us in every way. Just think about this. She had wrong thinking about herself, right? What'd she think about herself? Oh, look at me. I'm doing all this, Jesus. She was self-righteous. She was prideful. She was thinking, look at me. I'm the one that's doing all the right things. How many of you know that was wrong thinking? She had wrong thoughts about her sister. What did she think about her sister? Lazy old girl. Look at her just sitting around while I'm doing all the work. You ever thought something like that? Just look at them. How many of you know that's wrong thinking? She had wrong thinking. She was bitter at her sister. She had begun to harbor unforgiveness towards her sister. She was frustrated with her sister because she was thinking things that were untrue. And because of that, she was in bondage. And how many of you know when we think wrong, it affects everything around us? Then the other thing is this. She had wrong thoughts about God. How many know we can have wrong thoughts about God? And wrong thoughts about God will affect our relationship with God. This is what she did. She said, God, don't you care? God must not care about me. He must not care about my situation. You ever felt that way? Those thoughts ever been presented to you? Okay, let's be honest this morning. God just must not care about what's going on in my life. Or we think that God's too busy for us. My point here is this. We can be close to Jesus. We can love Jesus. We can be around Jesus. And we can still have wrong thinking. And he said, until we have our thinking renewed, we're not going to experience transformation in our life. What did she need? She needed truth. And Jesus was there to present truth. Go back and read the Gospels and see what Jesus did while he was on the earth. The primary thing that Jesus did while he was on the earth was he tried to teach people the right way to think. He tried to unveil to them by the power of the Holy Spirit the truths of the kingdom of God. He said, listen, which one of you by worrying about it can add one cubit to your stature? He said, well, think about this. Consider this. Think about this. The lilies of the field, they don't toil or spin, but yet your Father clothes them. Okay? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Over and over and over throughout the Gospels, we can see that what Jesus came to do was to unveil truth, to help us change the way that we think so that we think truth. And when we see truth and we think truth and we contend for truth in our life, how many of you know, change comes. We are transformed and God brings about freedom in our life. Can you say amen? Real quickly, I've got about 15 minutes. Real quickly, if you go to the back page of your notes, I just want to talk to you real quickly about three steps to controlling our thoughts and renewing our minds. Steps to controlling our thoughts and renewing our mind. And this is under the subheading of this, that our thoughts are controllable. Our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts come from somewhere, but our thoughts are controllable. And the scripture says this in the book of Colossians 3, verse 2. It says, set your mind on things above, not the things that are on the earth. In Romans 8, 5, the scripture says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Both of these verses tell us that it's our job and it's our responsibility to choose what we set our mind on. That God has given us a free will, that is our mind. And he's given us the ability to make the choice what we choose to think about. And the Bible tells us that we have to be careful how we think, because how we think will shape our lives. If we think lonely thoughts, guess what? It's going to shape our life into a life of loneliness. If we think fearful thoughts, then it's going to cause us to be people that live in fear. The Bible says we have a choice whether we set our minds on things which are above or things which are on the earth. Just turn on the TV, CNN or Fox News, and you can begin to look at what's going on the earth. And how many of you know that if you set your mind on things that are on the earth, it's going to produce something in your life. But we have to make the choice to go from there to here. to set our minds on things which are above, not on things which are on the earth. So the enemy would have us to believe that we can't control what we're thinking about. But God has placed us in control of our minds. He has placed us as the doorkeepers of our minds. And we choose what we think about. Real quickly, letter A, steps to controlling and renewing our minds. Letter A is this: we must learn to recognize wrong thinking. We have to learn to recognize wrong thoughts. How do we know if it's a right thought or a wrong thought? Now, listen, sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes thoughts show up in our, let me come back to this. You know, we choose what we take in. Remember, the enemy will come and offer you a thought. The enemy offer anybody a thought this week? He'll come and offer us a thought. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit offers us thoughts? This world offers us thoughts. The old man offers us thoughts. But God offers us thoughts. But just because something's offered doesn't mean that we have to take it. It's our choice whether we're going to take it or not. But how do we know if a thought is a wrong thought? Some thoughts that come to us, we obviously know that they're wrong. But most of the time, the enemy comes to deceive. Everybody say deceive. He's a master deceiver. He doesn't come with a big blinking sign of a wrong thought and where we obviously know. What he tries to do is like he did with Eve and say, did God really say? Did God really mean? I know you're supposed to forgive, but they don't quite know your situation. You know, this time, you might want to just hold on to that for a little while. And you follow what I'm saying. So how do we know if we're having wrong thoughts? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, the scripture says this: a healthy tree produces good fruit, but an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. See, we recognize a thought source because thoughts come from somewhere. And we embrace them. We recognize where a thought is coming from by the fruit that it produces in our life. A healthy thought is going to produce good fruit. God's thoughts, God's truths, if we meditate on them, are going to produce good fruit. But unhealthy thoughts are going to produce bad fruit. The scripture says you can't be thinking unhealthy thoughts and have good fruit in your life. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. We cannot walk around thinking things that go against the truth of God's word and expect then that we're going to believe and walk in faith over those areas. We have to be changed by the renewing of our mind. But if we have good thoughts, if we have God's thoughts, if we have His truth operating within our soul and within our mind and within our spirit, how many of you know it's going to produce good fruit? What type of fruit does that thought produce in my life? We've got to do the hard work of saying, what is that? Is that thought a godly thought? Or is that thought a ungodly thought or a toxic thought? Does it produce fruits of fear, fruits of worry, anxiety, dread, depression, anger, bitterness, judgment, criticism? Are those the fruits that are being produced in my life? If we look at the fruit, it will tell us what the root of the thoughts that we're thinking. If we're experiencing those things in our life, they are indicative of the fact that we're allowing our mind to be set on things on the earth and not on things of the spirit. But if fruits that are being born in my life are fruits of joy, fruits of faith, fruits of peace, fruits of expectancy and mercy and compassion and love and encouragement, then how many of you know, then we can say the root of that thing is a godly root. See, the fruit that is being produced in our life is the indicator of the origin of any thought. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:6 to be carnally minded is what? Look, if we allow our minds to be set on carnal things, things that are not of God, how many of you know it's going to produce death? Well, my boss, he's never going to promote me. My boss, he's just against me. He favors everybody else over me. How many of you know those are carnal thoughts? Huh? Well, that's no fair. My coworker, she always gets all the breaks. Huh? Those are carnal thoughts. And the Bible tells us that when we think like that, it's going to produce death in our lives. But if we want to see change, then we've got to take our eyes off of the natural realm. And we've got to get our thoughts out of the natural realm. And we've got to get our thoughts in the God realm. And if we will get our thoughts and we'll get our roots in the thoughts of God, and we'll begin to think the thoughts of God, then we'll begin to believe the thoughts of God. And when we begin to believe the thoughts of God, how many of you know it produces faith in us? And that faith will then begin to produce change in our circumstances and in our lives. But we make the choice about the thoughts that we allow to reside in our mind. A mind that's set on the Spirit, the Bible says, is life and peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this: God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, everybody say mine, whose mind is stayed on you, stayed on you. God will keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on him. How many of you know that's an amazing promise? Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what I'm working through, regardless of what they're saying about me, regardless of what it looks at, you mean I can walk in peace? Yeah, if you keep your mind stayed on him. But the choice is ours. The scripture also says, this is a powerful verse in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words, which is God's expression of his thoughts. Incline your ear to my sayings. That word incline there means pitch your tent over what I have to say. It's so easy for the enemy to pull us aside and have us pitch our tent on what other people are saying or what the circumstances look like. But God said that if you will give attention to his words and you'll pitch your tent or your ear to his saying, the scripture says, verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. How many know we got to keep this in the midst of our heart? He said, if you'll keep this in the midst of your heart. Another version says, let them penetrate deep within your heart, your inner man, into your mind. Verse 22, because my thoughts, my words, they are life. Everybody say life. They are life to those who find them, and they are health to all of their flesh. Do we need the thoughts of God? Do we need the truth of his word? Because if we incline our ear to his words, and if we pitch our tent over his thoughts, and we make them the priority in our life, the scripture says that they will bring life and they will bring health. That word life there means green like vegetation, flowing fresh out of the water, revived like the springtime, which is the opposite of what? It's the opposite of death. So we have to guard our mind, and we have to make sure that our mind is pitched over the thoughts of God. The fruit produced in our lives reveals the origin of the thoughts that we're thinking. And I'm going to cover these last two real quick, but what are you thinking about? How do you think about the situation? It makes all the difference. We have to set our mind on things which are above. We have to be able to identify, letter A, recognize wrong thoughts. Then B, we have to learn to reject wrong thoughts. When the Holy Spirit helps us to see by the fruit that it's bearing in our life that we have wrong thoughts that are going on in our mind, then what we've got to do is we've got to be relentless in rejecting those wrong thoughts. Paul writes it like this in 2 Corinthians 10. This is all about thinking. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are a house of thoughts that we've built in our mind over a period of time. See, when the enemy comes and offers a thought and we receive it, it's like one brick is laid in that stronghold. And then when that thought comes again and we receive it, it's another brick. Brick upon brick upon brick. Whether that be fear, whether that be anger, whether that be unforgiveness, whether that be depression, whether that be low self-esteem. And the enemy looks to build strongholds of thought in our mind that keep us captive. But how many of you know God wants us to tear down strongholds of the enemy? And he wants to establish other strongholds. Strongholds of truth. Not what the enemy has to say, but what God has to say. Not what the enemy has offered for us to think, but what God says to think about. Paul said we have to tear down the wrong strongholds, pull them down, and to cast down arguments. And every high thing or every high idea that comes against the knowledge of God. And he says this, we have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The way we win, the way we change is when we recognize that we have wrong patterns of thinking, wrong belief system, wrong ways of thinking. Then we, with the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God, we say, no, I'm not letting you in the name of Jesus. I am not going to think that way. And it may be a stronghold that God identifies to you in your life that has been there for a long period of time. And you begin to break that thing down with the truth of God's word. Because the reality is every thought we don't take captive will take us captive. So we have to take everything captive to the obedience of Christ. We have to make Jesus the Lord of our thoughts. The Bible says this, submit yourselves. That includes what you're thinking about. Submit your thoughts, submit your mind unto God. Resist the devil in and over your mind, and he has to flee from you. We control what we think about. We control whether or not we position ourselves for the truth of God's word to rule and reign in our life. If we set our mind on things which are above, how many of you know it's going to produce the fruit of God in our life and it's going to change our situation? We have to reject the thoughts of the enemy. The Bible says this in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Everybody say true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. God tells us how to think and what to think about. And so it's our job then to recognize any thought that's offered to us that doesn't line up with that list right there. And that has to become the filter for how we live our life. And any other thoughts that we embrace in our life other than God's thoughts, God's truth in our life, they only will produce death. How many of you want the life of God? Then we've got to embrace the word of God. We've got to embrace the thoughts of God. And then let us see. The way we do that then is replacing the wrong thoughts with God's thoughts. We got to begin to replace the wrong thoughts with God's thoughts. We can't stop thinking. You can't not think. But what we've got to do is we've got to take the wrong thoughts and we got to begin to replace them with God's thoughts. Joe, you got some music you can start up there. This is my close. Listen, the way that we win, the way that we pull down strongholds, the way that we take thoughts captive is we do it by replacing those things with the very word of God. I quoted earlier Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. All that stuff is carnal stuff. All that stuff is worldly stuff. It's what other people have to say. It's what the world has to say. It's what the enemy has to say. The Bible says, blessed is the man that don't think about that stuff, that don't engage with that stuff. Blessed is the man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord is what? It's his word. It's his heart. It's his thoughts. It's his plans. It's his purposes. But his delight, Mary, at the feet, delighting in the word of God, delighting in the truth of God, the truth that makes us free, the truth that makes us free. But his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that truth, he meditates day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Listen, it doesn't do us good to read our little three chapters in the morning and not even let it penetrate and then just go on throughout the day and just think like the world all the rest of the day. Guess what? Unhealthy thoughts are going to produce unhealthy fruit in our life. I can read about the peace of God, but if I don't take it in, if I don't meditate it, if I don't war to have the truth in that area of my life be what I think about throughout the day, guess what? I'm not going to win. I have to take the wrong thoughts captive and I have to replace them with the truth of God's word. Pastor can't pray it on you. No one can lay hands and impart it to you, but you have to renew your mind to the thoughts of God. You deal with depression like this. You deal with fear like this. You deal with panic attacks like this. You deal with issues in your marriage like this. You deal with prodigal children like this. You deal because you have to come back to the truth of God's word. If we have God's truth on our situation, we have God on our situation. And we have to meditate. What meditate means is this, and I've told you this before, but it's like the old cow that chews the cud and swallows it down into one of its stomachs. And it's down there and it's moving around, and then after a while, what does it do? It regurgitates it, brings it back up, chews it some more, sends it to another stomach. And it keeps working that until it gets all the nutrients and all the protein out of that grass. Meditate is the word ruminate, which is that, which is we take the word of God in, we read what we need. If you fight fear, get you a scripture and says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear. And then they hand you that project at work, and that fear tries to attack you. And you think, I can't do this. There's no way that I can do this. But instead of thinking those thoughts, you begin to ruminate, pull up from on the inside the truth, what God has to say, and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind, in Jesus' name. And we begin to replace the thoughts of the enemy with the thoughts and the truth of God's word. And if we will renew our mind in those areas and begin to take brick by brick. Listen, if you've got areas of your life that are ruling you and dominating you, and areas of your life that are strongholds of thinking, strongholds of anger, strongholds of unforgiveness, strongholds of bitterness towards a person, you've thought for years about a person a certain way because of what they've done to you. But God says that we have to forgive. And the enemy, you built this large case against this person because of all the bad things they did to you. But how many of you know that's carnal thinking? That's unhealthy thinking. It's an unhealthy tree. It's bearing unhealthy fruit. It's affecting you spirit, soul, and body. Do you know that they say, research is showing, this is according to Dr. Caroline Leaf, research is now showing that, this is scientific research, is now showing that 75 to 98% of physical sicknesses originate with the way people think. The way we think affects everything, and that's why God tells us that the way things are going to change is by changing the way that we think. This isn't mind over matter. This is the truth of God's word, transforming our lives. And we can embrace it. It's the process. Everybody say it's the process. There are no shortcuts. There's no way around it. We got to renew our mind to the word of God. We've got to recognize the wrong stuff, and we got to reject the wrong stuff, and we got to replace it with God's stuff. That's the simplicity of it. That's the simplicity of it. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit will empower us to do it if we'll invite Him in? Let's just, if you're right there this morning, just close your eyes. If you're right there this morning and you feel like the Holy Spirit is pinpointing some areas in your life that you believe that you have some wrong thinking, that you're dominated by thoughts that you know are not God's thoughts, and they drive you, just like Martha. She loved Jesus, and she was close to Jesus, and she was a friend of Jesus, but she still had some mixed up thinking, and she needed the truth that would set her free. And this morning, if you feel that the Holy Spirit is pinpointing an area in your life where you know your thinking needs to change, that there are some thought trails that you go down on a daily basis, and you know that that way of thinking needs to come to an end, and you need to begin to renew your mind to the Word of God in a particular area, what I'd like for you to do is just stand up. We're just going to stand up. I'm already standing up because I've got areas in my life. And what we're going to do by standing up is we stand up, and by standing up, we say this. We say that God is our help. God is our source. I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm not living where I'm at. But I'm going to take the truth of God's word, and it's going to turn it for me in Jesus' name. So let's just lift up our hands. Just begin to tell God, say, God, I want your best. God, I want life and life more abundantly, God. God, I choose today, God, to follow your path and your process. God, I know that it's your truth that makes me free, oh God. I choose the better thing, the one thing that matters, and that's to sit at your feet, God. God, give me a passion and a hunger, God, for your word. God, give me a teachable spirit, God. Open my eyes. Take off the scales, God. I pray, God, that you would cause my heart, God, to be changed from a heart that is hard to a heart of flesh, God, that you can deal with. God, that you would begin to reveal to me the wrong things. And God, that you would enable me and empower me by your grace, God, to choose your way and to choose your truth and to choose your thoughts, God, as we begin to take the thoughts of the enemy captive, the thoughts of this world captive. And God, we're not going to live by the dictates of the flesh. Father, we just thank you. Father, we thank you that nothing's too hard for you. Lord, I pray, God, this morning, God, that you would inspire hope in people. Not just to look at areas of their life, God, that are maybe in bondage or that are in captivity, God. Not wrong ways of thinking and be discouraged over it. God, we're encouraged. God, we're encouraged that you have a way out. We're encouraged that you have a plan to turn it around. We're encouraged for your word and for your truth, God, that always changes things. God, we embrace it in the mighty name of Jesus.